Nehemiah chapter 12, begin reading in verse 27. And at the dedication of the wall of Jerusalem, they sought the Levites out of all their places to bring them to Jerusalem to keep the dedication with gladness, both with thanksgivings and with singing, with cymbals, psalteries, and with harps. And the sons of the singers gathered themselves together both out of the plain country round about Jerusalem, and from the villages of Netaphathi, also from the house of Gilgal, and out of the fields of Geba and Asmaveth, for the singers had builded them villages round about Jerusalem. And the priests and the Levites purified themselves and purified the people and the gates and the wall. Then I brought up the princes of Judah upon the wall and appointed two great companies of them that gave thanks, whereof one went on the right hand upon the wall toward the dung gate. And after them went Hoshaiah and half the princes of Judah and Azariah, Ezra and Meshulam, Judah and Benjamin and Shemaiah and Jeremiah and certain of the priest's sons with trumpets, namely Zechariah the son of Jonathan, the son of Shemaiah, the son of Mattaniah, the son of Micaiah, the son of Zakur, the son of Asaph, and his brethren Shemaiah and Azarel, Melilah, Gelilah, Maiah, Nethaniel, and Judah, Hananiah, with the musical instruments of David, the man of God, and Ezra the scribe before them. And at the fountain gate, which was over against them, they went up by the stairs of the city of David, at the going down of the wall above the house of David, even unto the water gate eastward. And the other company of them that gave thanks went over against them, and after I them, and half the people upon the wall from beyond the tower of the furnaces, even unto the broad wall, and from above the gate of Ephraim, and above the old gate, and above the fish gate, and the tower of Hananiel, and the tower of Mia, even unto the sheep gate, and they stood still in the prison gate. So stood the two companies of them that gave thanks in the house of God, and I, and half of the rulers with me, and the priests Eliakim, Messiah, Menahem, Micaiah, Eliaonai, Zechariah, and Hananiah with trumpets, and Maaseiah, and Shemaiah, and Eleazar, and Uzziah, and Jehohanan, and Malchijah, and Elam, and Ezer. And the singers sang loud with Jezreiah, their overseer. Also that day they offered great sacrifices and rejoiced, for God had made them rejoice with great joy. The wives also and the children rejoiced, so that the joy of Jerusalem was heard even afar off. And at that time were some appointed over the chambers for the treasures, for the offerings, for the first fruits, and for the tithes, to gather into them out of the fields of the cities the portions of the law for the priests and the Levites. For Judah rejoiced for the priests and for the Levites that waited. And both the singers and the porters kept the ward of their God and the ward of the purification according to the commandment of David and of Solomon his son. For in the days of David and Asaph of old, there were chief of the singers and songs of praise and thanksgiving unto God. And all Israel in the days of Zerubbabel, in the days of Nehemiah, gave the portions of the singers and the porters every day his portion. And they sanctified holy things unto the Levites, and the Levites sanctified them unto the children of Aaron. Now, we've come to the wall's completed. Gates are all hung. They've set a day to have a dedication service. And folks, this dedication service is going to turn into a worship service. It needs to turn into a worship service. God has done something great. So what we're going to talk about today is the sound of joyful worship. Joyful worship. Not begrudging worship. Joyful worship. There's two types of worship. There's private worship. Folks, that's what I do when I'm out on the tractor or out on the lawnmower. I get alone. That's just me and God. That's when I'm praising Him for whatever it is that the Spirit's laid on my heart, whatever it is that has touched me. I might be praising him for my family. I might be praising him for the health that I still have a little bit of. I might be praising him the fact that I'm not having to push mow all that grass, you know? I can find lots of things to praise him for. I can look up in the sky at night and I see the stars and I realize who created all of that. And you and I can't even see to the other side of those. We don't know how big it is. We know that God is bigger. We know he created it. But then, you know, then there's corporate worship. You need private worship, but you also need corporate worship. That's what we're doing here today. Corporate worship is, it can be public. If you've got a citywide, you know, if we're out there preaching and people are coming, it's open to the public, which by the way, this church is open to anybody that wants to come through those doors and sit here and listen. But we're doing corporate worship. That's where we're getting together as a group, as a church family, to worship the Lord. That's what we've done. You enter those doors back there to worship. You exit to serve. Here we're worshiping. Listen to me. Jesus told Martha that Mary had chosen the better part. Martha had chosen to serve. Mary had chosen to worship. All your service should stem from your worship. Your worship. And so that's what we're going to see today. We're going to see the sound of joyful worship. True worship, folks, is joyful, active. It can be a public celebration of what God has done. It is rooted in holiness and sustained by daily faithfulness. Now, before I go on any farther, I know I'm talking about joyful worship. Can you worship when you're not really happy? I'm going to tell you something. You can worship at a funeral if you will. Your loved one has passed from this life. I'm telling you, both my mom and my dad died with testimonies of faith in Christ. Worried about my dad, but he was saved when he was 82 years old. The oldest man that I'd ever baptized. Only person. Oldest person. You don't give up on people. But when I buried him, I praised God that he was saved. I could worship that day. When I buried my mom, I praised God. I'd miss him so much. But I praised God on those days because I hadn't lost them. I knew exactly where they were. And I'm telling you, the Lord blessed me with this thought and I've passed it on ever since. It's almost like they've gone on a vacation where there's no cell phone service. They've gone on a vacation. I know where they are. I know I'm going to see them again. I just can't talk to them until I see them again. I can worship God. I can praise him that I had that comfort. But let's look at this worship. Number one, joyful corporate worship requires preparation. Y'all know I talked about that a little bit last week. Y'all remember when I said I'd gone to that church that Garrett goes to and they had a time of confession? Wasn't time for anybody to stand up. It's just a time when they pray, reflect upon their life, and if they had sin in their life that needed to be confessed to God and repented of, it gave them an opportunity to do that. That was a way to prepare their hearts for the message that they were about to hear. Folks, the Levites here in verse 27 were sought out of all their places to bring them to Jerusalem to keep the dedication with gladness, both with thanksgivings and with singing. They're going to sing some songs when they get there. And if you read it a little bit, you see they're going to sing some songs that are accompanied by musical instruments. Praise the Lord for musical instruments. They help you. I realize you can use anything wrongly. But they weren't going to use these wrong. They were going to play the music and the people were going to sing. It wasn't just going to be the Levites that would be singing. Everybody is going to be singing. Before the music began, though, the people prepared their hearts. They prepared their community, you might say. Nehemiah didn't leave worship to chance. He sought out the Levites. The priests and the people purified themselves, the gates and the wall. Before it ever started, there was a purification process that took place. When should that happen for us? Well, you say, I got saved in 1974. Great. But I'm going to tell you something. Do you remember when Jesus was washing the feet of the disciples? And old Peter said, Lord, you're not going to wash my feet. And he said, if I don't wash your feet, you got no part with me. He said, you don't need to wash your whole body. Folks, when you were saved, you were washed cleaner and whiter than snow. That part of you don't need any more washing. But what do the feet come into contact with? What's the symbolism there? The feet come into contact with this nasty old world. You and I live in a nasty world. I'm sorry. There's filth everywhere you look. Every day we need that type of cleansing. Every day we need to take that spiritual checkup. We need that time of confession. We need that time where we say, Lord, I wasn't as Christian as I should have been at this point here. I need you to forgive me. Lord, I had these immoral thoughts. I let the world get into my head. I need some cleansing. You know, the Bible tells us that if we will confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's not written to lost people. That's written to saved people. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 9. That should be a daily verse that we exhibit or that we practice in our lives. So these people got their heart right with the Lord so that they could worship correctly. Guess what? This morning, you had from the time your eyes come open until you got out here to the parking lot or until I started preaching to get your heart right with the Lord. You don't have to wait for the preaching to start. You don't have to wait for an invitation to be given. If we all came here, prayed up, packed up, paid up, and ready to go up, how much better would the worship be? That's corporate worship. And if we want the worship services to be what they should be, if we want to leave here saying it was good to have been in the house of the Lord today, if we want to have joyful worship, then it starts with us with a little bit of cleansing. Not salvation, but having fellowship, sweet, sweet fellowship between us and the Lord. Now, I want you to think about it this way. Any of y'all ever been to a band concert or a symphony? I'm going to tell you something. It is absolutely amazing to get there before they ever start because they start tuning up. You know what they sound like? It's a bunch of squawks and squeaks. It sounds horrible. It sounds horrible. And you think, oh my goodness, am I going to make it through this? If this is the way these people play, this is going to kill me. But when they all get tuned up and they begin to play their sweet harmony. Oh, it's so beautiful. I've been to the regional band concerts. And it is amazing what those teachers can do with those kids and their talent in one day. And they can play some songs that I can't even stay up with the rhythm. But it sounds horrible at the first, and then it gets tuned. The sound of joy is distorted when the strings of the heart are unconfessed and unprepared. But man, if we come here and we're ready to worship the Lord and that's the main thing on our mind and our heart is right with God, can you imagine? I'll tell you what will happen. You'll preach this old boy to death. You'll give me a heart attack with me preaching so hard. We cannot enter worship casually. Joyful worship requires a prepared heart, a confession of sin, an intentional gathering with God's people. The psalmist said, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. I'm going to go further. Attitude. Some people got up this morning and said, oh, I've got to go to church this morning. And then others got up and said, I get to go to church this morning. One little letter in one word changes the whole attitude. If you feel like you got to go to church, you feel like it's something you have to do, whether you want to or not. But if you say, I get to go to church, that's an attitude of, I am ready. I'm looking forward to it. It's a privilege that I have. I want to go. And I'd rather have a church, a pews full of people that want to be here instead of those that are forced to be here. Now, there's something to be said for forcing. Sometimes you got to force your kids. Till they're 18, bring them to church, whether they like it or not. Don't say, well, I'll be turning them against it. No, if they're going to turn against it, that's on them. Your job is to get them here. My job is to preach to them. Sunday school teacher's job is to teach them. Holy Spirit will do the rest of it. But what we do, we got to be prepared. Joyful worship is expressive and active. Verses 31 through 42. Nehemiah appointed two great companies of singers and leaders to walk upon the walls. That's the same walls that had once been broken and lying in ruins. It's the same walls. When I read this, every time I read it, I think about, was it Tobiah? One of those enemies said, if a fox ran up on it, it'll all come crumbling down. Folks, it will not only hold a fox, it held people. Those walls are not small. They were big. They were huge. Those same walls. Now they're not mocked. Now they're not broken. The people didn't just sing about restoration, folks. They walked on it. They're up there praising God on a wall that had been broken. Their worship was embodied. It was visible. And guess what? It was loud. It was loud. The instruments, the voices, the movement, it all filled Jerusalem. I'll say this again here in a minute. It didn't just fill Jerusalem. It said it was heard from afar. Y'all ever go to the football game up here and you're late? You ever been walking in when the scrappers score a touchdown? Let me tell you something. You can hear it on Main Street. It's loud. It is loud. Why? Because those people are happy. They're joyful. Why? Our team just scored a touchdown. That's just one of many that we expect you to score during the night. We're going to scream and holler just as loud every time as we did on the first one. Joy was heard from afar. It wasn't contained. It wasn't kept in. It was let out. Worship became a testimony that was once ruined, now resounded with praise. These people don't have to be ashamed anymore. They are not ashamed. Isn't that what Nehemiah told them at the beginning? This is, you people see what's going on here? I'm paraphrasing. This is a shame and a disgrace. They're not disgraced anymore. They're not ashamed anymore. Their God has helped them to build that wall and brought them through all these troubles and trials along the way. They cannot keep from being loud with their worship. Imagine the echo of trumpets bouncing off the newly rebuilt wall. Each note declaring God kept His promise. Each note being blown by a man that's praising God with his with the ability that he has to play this instrument. Corporate worship, folks, this is good, is not a spectator sport. Corporate worship calls for active participation. Active participation. Singing, praying, listening, being involved, playing an instrument. Folks, we better get to praying. Miss Sally has retired. I hate to tell y'all this, but Miss Vicky's not getting any younger either. One of these days, she's not going to be able to play. We're going to need somebody that's willing to step up and play the piano. It would be nice if somebody could already play the organ or play the piano and let Miss Vicky go back to the organ. These people didn't sit on the sidelines. These people were involved. And if you read it with me, you saw, or if you listened to me, you saw where it wasn't just the men, it was the women and the children all got involved. Everybody got involved in this worship. It calls for our active participation, our voices, our presence, our energy. We're here to magnify God. The psalmist said, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Joyful noise is a loud noise. This young lady sitting right here in the green and black, my oldest granddaughter. And y'all remember when we first came here? Some of you do. She was about 2. Do y'all remember what she would do every time we were singing? She didn't know the words, but she was letting her fly. She was loud. She was singing. We all thought it was cute. Now she won't even open her mouth when she sings. You'd have to have your ear right there by her lips to hear if anything's coming out. What happened? Need to get back to singing. Sing. If you can't sing, hum. I'm going to tell you something else. Some people can whistle. Whistling is okay. Whistling is the instrument that you... Did y'all realize that whistling is the only instrument I can actually play? And that's my lips. I can whistle. And I try to. I try to. Not here. I try to sing here. But I'm just saying, when you're here and you're ready and you want to be here and you're ready to worship the Lord, be a part of it. Be a part of it. Joyful corporate worship inspires ongoing faithfulness. If what we do here does not affect you out there, then we wasted our time. Now, I'm going to go ahead and say this. I've heard people say, well, I just don't get anything out of the sermon. It's probably because they didn't put anything into it in the first place. They wasn't listening and didn't care. But I've also heard people say, well, that just, you know, they feel like it didn't change anything. I got news for you. Every sermon you ever hear makes you more accountable than you were when you got here. In other words, Jesus said the wise man builds his house upon the rock. He is the man that heard and does the word of God. The foolish man builds his house upon the sand. He hears and does not do the word of God, and his house falls. You will stand before the righteous judge. I'll stand before the judge and give an account of what I preached and how I responded to the word. But you're going to give an account for how you responded to every message you've ever heard. Every message makes you more accountable than you were before. Every message comes with responsibility. Now you'll either do it or won't do it. No middle ground. You either obey the word or you don't obey the word. You can go out of here and say, well, I didn't really like that sermon because, you know, here's the beautiful thing. I don't have to worry about how it touches you. That's between you and God. Holy Spirit takes what I preach. If it's the truth, He takes it, He touches you with it, and when He touches you with it, you're responsible for it. If you want to have joy in your life, if you want to worship God with joy, then you better yield to it. You better listen to it. And so it should bring growth. It should bring maturity. It should bring greater faith. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. You ought to have more faith. He says here in verses 44 through 47, paraphrasing a little bit, and men were appointed over the chambers for treasures, for Judah rejoiced, for the priests and for the Levites that waited. Well, I got ahead of myself. Let's go back to verse 43. Also that day they offered great sacrifices and rejoiced, for God had made them rejoice with great joy. And the wives also and the children rejoiced, so that the joy of Jerusalem was heard even afar off. Well, I touched on that a little bit, but folks, the joy here wasn't private. You know, in your private worship, you can get that private joy. But in corporate worship, it's not private. It's okay for you to get happy in Jesus. It's okay for you to say amen. Guess what? It's okay for you to say hallelujah. Hallelujah is the Greek, is the original language term for praise the Lord. There's nothing wrong with saying praise the Lord. Might scare the preacher if some people did it, but that'd be all right. He'll get over it. There's nothing wrong with it. You don't keep it. The joy was heard from afar. When God restores joy, it reverberates beyond the sanctuary. It goes with you. It doesn't stop right there at that door. The whole city became a choir, and the sound carried into the surrounding areas. Do you see what I'm saying? If we get happy in Jesus, if we begin to worship Him in corporate worship with a joyful worship, one where we're ready to worship and we want to hear the Word of God, and we want to do the Word of God, it's not going to be contained in these four walls. It goes with us, and we serve Him out there, and the people will see a difference in us. They'll see the happiness that we have. They'll see the joy that we have. And guess what? There's a whole world of people out there who need a little happiness and who need a little joy, but they won't find it where they're looking for it. They'll find it where you found it, and that's in Jesus Himself. When a church worships with genuine God-given joy, it becomes a powerful testimony to the rest of the world. Our praise should echo into our neighborhoods and our workplaces. Jesus said it this way, let your light so shine before men that they may glorify your Father which is in heaven. And then let's talk about the joyful worship inspires ongoing faithfulness. And men were appointed over the chambers for the treasures, for Judah rejoiced, for the priests and for the Levites that waited. The celebration did not end with the music. The celebration that we have, the joy that we find in worshiping the Lord should not stop when the invitation hymn is over. If it doesn't go with you out of this room, it was superficial. If it was just emotional, if that's all it is, if it was just emotions, it'll end by the time you get to where you're going to eat. But if it was spiritual, and folks, the Bible says if we're going to worship God, we must worship Him in spirit and in truth. So if it was just emotional, it's not going to last. But if it's spiritual, if it's in your heart, if you're truly happy in Jesus, if you're truly joyful in your worship, and you truly want to serve Him, it's going to exit this building and stay with you. Stay with you. Celebration didn't end with the music. The people established systems to sustain worship. Provision for priests, offerings for the temple, and daily sacrifice. Joy led to stewardship. Do we have a system in place to sustain worship? Folks, you got an opportunity. You had an opportunity this morning. There's another one this afternoon. We have one Wednesday night. I'm telling you, I enjoy the Wednesday night service. It's a lot more relaxed than it is on Sunday morning. If we need to add some, we can. You need to find time to worship God when you don't have a chance to corporately worship, to personally, privately worship. A spark becomes a flame only when it's fed. And folks, it only takes a spark to get a fire going. I've fought wildfire. And I'm telling you, it don't take long for it to get out of hand. All it takes is that one spark to get the fire going. And then fire creates its own wind. And the more wind, the faster the fire will run. And it will run uphill faster than it will go downhill. We need a fire started. That's called revival. That's called revival. The sound of restored joyful worship must be maintained through faithful obedience. You get excited about Jesus, you get excited about serving the Lord, and then all of a sudden, stuff happens. True joy doesn't fade when the song ends. It moves us to give, to serve, and to build rhythms that honor God continually. Paul put it this way, "Be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord." I think the best illustration that I've got right here comes from church camp years and years ago. I took a group of teenagers from Bethel No. 2 Missionary Baptist Church in Herbeen, Arkansas. Rising address. That's back when I was young and could handle it. It was a good one. Several of our young people got saved. And on the last day there, one of our young ladies said, "Oh, how I wish that we could keep this atmosphere all year long." She had enjoyed it so much. Her heart had been touched. She wanted to live at church camp. Well, you can't do that. We can't stay in here all the time. God didn't leave us here to isolate us. He left us here to continue the work. And the work is outside these doors. We can be insulated by the Word and by the Spirit, but we're never to be isolated. She said, "How can we keep this spirit?" Well, I know what she was talking about. She was talking about church, but that's not what I told her. You know what I told her? I said, "One of the reasons that you have this attitude, one of the reasons this is so great," I said, "you haven't watched a television in almost a week. You haven't listened to a radio in almost a week. You don't have a clue what's going on in the rest of the world. Nothing has invaded your heart and your mind except the pure Word of God." I said, "If you'll go home and you'll turn that TV off and turn the radio off and not pick up any worldly magazines and you'll read your Bible and study and pray every day, you can maintain this attitude, this atmosphere. But if you go back home and you start watching the TV and you start listening to the radio and you start reading these magazines and hanging around with kids that are not like-minded, you're not going to maintain that atmosphere." But folks, God didn't call us, like I said, He didn't call us to isolate ourselves from the world. We can come in here and our worship here helps to insulate us. And then we go out there to serve. But then we come back in here to get some more insulation. But if this is the only Word of God you get during the week, you're going to be spiritually anemic. You won't be happy in Jesus. You won't have joyful worship. The dedication of Jerusalem wall was more than a ceremony. It was a symphony, folks. When God restores, He doesn't just rebuild the walls. He restores the worship. The sound of restored joy is the evidence of a revived people. A revived people. I want to go back to that church that I told you about that Garrett went to. There's almost 400 people sitting in there. I never heard one amen. Not one. We got out of there and I told Garrett, I said, "Wonder what that preacher would have done if I'd have said amen real loud. It probably would have destroyed his train of thought. He might have passed out up there on the stage." We've let the world creep in. Don't let the world cheat you out of worshipful, joyful service.